Show. The playoff field is set. Ari Wasserman and I are back together for the second time in about 12 hours. We've apologized for picking Georgia to beat Alabama. We got that out of the way last night. Ari, now we got to break down a playoff field. And the committee could have given us a little drama, but basically the field everybody expected. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Michigan. Number three, Georgia. Number four, Cincinnati.
I have like this we talked a little bit about it on the previous podcast, but it's like on one hand, I feel like Georgia got rewarded for being blown out in their conference championship game. But then on the other hand, you have to make sure that Alabama has the easiest route. And on paper, regardless of what you think, this isn't a slight at Cincinnati, but they would probably be the biggest favorites against Cincinnati of all of them. So you have to reward Bama, you know. But I think it's interesting. I would have liked to see a rematch from the SEC game right away. I don't know if that was ever going to happen, but I feel like that would be the right thing.
So Gary Barta got asked about that by Reese Davis on the ESPN show. Gary Barta is the Iowa athletic director. He's the chair of the playoff selection committee. So let's hear how he answered that question about matchups, rematches, all that stuff.
The follow-up thing is something that I just brought up that started percolating last night in some quarters, is that the committee should try to avoid the possibility of an Alabama-Georgia championship, or some others would say avoid an Alabama-Georgia rematch in the semifinals. Clarify, I know what the protocol is, but clarify whether anything like that ever comes up, even in the discussion prior to the voting stage.
The answer is no. What the committee does, and it's a fair question and I understand the speculation, but the answer is no. We come into the room and we take and we line up the teams, we talk about their strengths, their weaknesses, their wins, their losses, all the things, and then now, as of last night and this weekend, the championships, and we rank them one through, in this case, one through four, all the way one through six that you've revealed, and we don't look at matchups. We just look at who belongs number one, two, three, and four.
So that's what he says. I tend to believe him, and I'll tell you why. Okay, Mr. Stars Matter, let me ask you one question. Who's better, Georgia or Cincinnati?
Georgia.
Then Georgia's number three. We'll use my patented method of choosing between number three and number four. If you kidnap Nick Saban, you know, threw him in a van, put a bag over his head, took him to a secure location, and then you shot him up with truth serum, and you said, who would you least like to face in your semifinal matchup? Who would he say?
Georgia.
Georgia's number three, then. It's the simplest way of deciding it. Georgia's number three.
But then again, then why aren't they two? By that same logic.
I actually don't know if he'd say Georgia or Michigan. Because they beat Georgia pretty easily, and Michigan does a lot of the same things, looks kind of similar. I think that might be pretty even, especially after the last two games Michigan's played. Like, if you've watched the last two games Michigan's played, you're like, I don't know if I want to see those
Michigan
guys. I might take the team I just beat.
I think you can make the case that Michigan is playing with the most confidence, and they seem to be in a position where they are believing in themselves the most. And I'm not trying to make this sound like a Hallmark movie, but I think that matters when you're jiving, when people like each other.
This is Hallmark Christmas movie season, Ari, so you
know what
right
I mean,
ahead.
Though? It does matter.
Christmas
like
in
chemistry.
Ann Arbor, where they believe that they can beat anyone, including the Georgia Bulldogs in the Orange Bowl. Yes.
That's funny.
Listen, I know Georgia's probably going to be favored by Vegas in the Orange Bowl. I don't know that Georgia's an easy pick, especially after what we saw in the SEC championship game. Those weaknesses that had not been exposed all season got exposed, and Michigan is the type of team that can take advantage of those.
Yeah. You know, a 7-point spread is a lot, but it's not that much. You know, you got one Michigan touchdown away in the first quarter from getting it at even. You know, and I think that the way that Georgia played, I'm very curious to know whether or not Michigan's offense will be able to score. But Michigan on the surface right now, I think, is every bit as dangerous or every bit as scary to whoever they're playing in the playoff as Georgia would be.
I think you're right about that. Now,
you know, back to what Gary Barta said, though, they say that they don't discuss matchups as part of the protocol in the room. And I understand right. that, and I believe that. But I also think that you have to take into account that people who are voting think about these types of things subconsciously or consciously, even if it's not discussed. So, like, if you and I are doing a Heisman ballot or any sort of ballot, we have other reasonings besides who you would put there. Like, if you do your Heisman ballot, your reasoning for putting Bryce Young on a spot might also be impacted by Will Anderson's placement on your ballot. And even though that's not part of the protocol, or it's not part of the reason why you're voting what you're voting, it does have a subconscious impact on the way that you view things. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do, but I really don't think they were thinking matchups. And I know there's a lot of people who will never believe that. Now, if you had a preference, Ari, would you have liked to seen Bama Georgia 2 right away, or would you have liked this possibility? So this is the part that, you know, for the SEC, it's sort of feast famine. They're either going to get an all SEC championship game, or one or the other, or no teams in the championship game. I think most people assume at least one of them is going to win, but would you rather have the guarantee of a team in the championship game, or you could get two, or you could get none?
I think if you're the SEC, you realize that, especially if you look at this field, nobody is going to pick Cincinnati to beat Bama. And let's be honest, they're not going to. So
nobody picked Bama to beat Georgia.
No, I know, but now we're talking about Alabama here. So I think that if you look at this specific field, you would be confident. I mean, before the game started, we were talking about the potential of this national championship rematch. And then in the third quarter, we knew the writing was on the wall that they would play again in the national championship. I don't know that Georgia deserves the easier route, quote unquote easier. I mean, depending on what, I know Georgia would rather play Michigan than Bama again right now. So, you know, it sets up nicely for it to be an Alabama-Georgia national championship. And I think people would love to watch that game, but I also feel like if you go back to the Oklahoma State situation, like 24 hours ago or, you know, 48 hours ago, we were looking at the potential of Michigan and Oklahoma State and Cincinnati making it. And if that would have happened, then we would have a ton of new blood and a completely new playoff. And now it's just like, if the bottom line is going to be, it's going to be the same national championship game as it was in 2018. This beautiful, crazy, insane, senseless season is just going to boil down to the same crap that we see every year. And that's kind of depressing. And it's vindicating for a Stars Matter person, but it was going to be kind of fun to see how things played out.
You were in the midst of an existential crisis. I'm glad that you...
I don't know what to do. Yeah.
I'm glad you come around on the fact that new blood would have been fun and interesting. I will say, if it winds up being a national title game between Alabama and Georgia, like the one after the 2017 season, I mean, that was a pretty good game. It was kind of fun to watch. So I'd be all right with that. I just hope the semifinal games are good. You know, I'm tired of blowouts in the semis. Those are the ones that get annoying. You know, the last time Georgia was in the playoff, they played a classic semi in the Rose Bowl against Oklahoma. I hope we see something to the tune of that in at least one of these games. When we come back, Ari, I want to throw another Gary Barta quote at you, because we're assuming Alabama is the best team, but we brought it up earlier in the show. Michigan is so hot right now, to quote everybody talking about Hansel and Zoolander. They are the team that I don't know that anybody wants to play right now. So let's talk about that when we come back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome back So we were talking a few minutes ago about Michigan being the most confident team in the country, maybe the hottest team in the country. I want to ask you, Ari, even with Alabama beating Georgia on Saturday, did Michigan have the best resume in the country?
It's certainly up for discussion. I mean, I think beating Ohio State the way that they did is one of the better wins of the season. I think that I would still take Alabama's win over Georgia as more impressive, especially considering the fact that came in a conference championship atmosphere. But, you know, I guess Michigan also had a better loss. I mean, based on the way that the committee ranked them. So I think when we were watching the show, I thought there was a chance that Michigan would be number one. And I think it would have been well-deserved, especially, too, because Alabama was playing kind of a weird brand of uninspired football for a month straight. You know, and really, if anybody watched the Michigan-Michigan State game, we all know who the better team was. And I took a lot of crap on Twitter the following week when Michigan was ranked ahead of Michigan State, inexplicably in the polls or in the playoff rankings, that I thought that Michigan was better. And I think it's pretty clear that they are. So to me, they both have outstanding defensive players. I think I would be a little bit more, if comparing Alabama and Michigan head-to-head, more excited about offense in Alabama. I mean, Jameson Williams and Bryce Young and all the guys that they have there, I think are really, really talented and can probably score quite a bit, as we saw against them, what they did to Georgia. But I do think that there is a case to be made. I don't think it's black and white. And I think I would have been okay if Michigan was the number one seed right now.
I don't think so either. So Gary Barta did get asked about that by Reese Davis on the ESPN show. Here was his answer.
But at the top, what separated Alabama and Michigan in the judgment of the committee?
Well, let's begin with the game that was played last night. Coming into the game, Georgia has been, you know, they were undefeated. They've been ranked number one by the committee all along. And so not only did Alabama beat Georgia, but the way they beat them. They controlled the game pretty much from start to finish. So there's that, and when you add that to their body of work, their other wins against Ole Miss, Arkansas, et cetera. But at the end of the day, now, Michigan, obviously a big win 2 weeks in a row now, looking great against Ohio State and then against Iowa. But at the end of the day, the complete victory over Georgia, the committee came out of there with a strong consensus that Alabama was one and Michigan was two.
So they beat a 10-win team 42-3, which probably is analogous to Alabama's win against Ole Miss, Ari. Would that be accurate?
I think so. I think that'd be fair. Yeah.
So I think it was a pretty even resume, and then you just decide, again, just like we were saying with Cincinnati and Georgia, who do you think's better? And so they picked Alabama. You've seen the opening lines come out. Alabama's a double-digit favorite over Cincinnati. Georgia almost a double-digit favorite over Michigan. But I'm very curious because this Alabama team, and I know we made the pledge last night, we're never picking against Nick Saban again, and I'm not going to pick against Nick Saban in this game. I'm going to pick Alabama in this game. I'm telling you that right now. But that Alabama team we saw in the SEC championship game was very different than the Alabama team we saw most of the season. We probably saw that team once in the Ole Miss game. We didn't see it against Auburn. We didn't see it against Florida. We sure as heck didn't see it against LSU. We didn't see it against Texas A&M. So are we to assume that this fairly young team, which Alabama is pretty young, are we to assume that it matured and this is the team we'll see in the playoff? Or is it possible the team that was somewhat up and down through the season will be the one that shows up in the Cotton Bowl?
I think that, let me ask you this. Has Alabama showed up to a playoff game or an SEC championship game in your memory where they played like crap?
No. They have. They've lost, but
yeah, losing.
Yeah. Even the 44-18 loss to Clemson, the score got out of hand because Alabama kept doing the things that were trying to win. It was almost like, it was very similar to what Ole Miss tried to do against Alabama this year, where the score got out of hand because Lane Kiffin kept doing the things you had to do to try to win that game. So I would agree that they've been prepared and competitive pretty much every time.
And I don't want to say that teams in the regular season of college football are ever sleepwalking or But there's a whole different button and level of play that you expect from your team and you get from your team in a playoff scenario. Everybody knows what's at stake. Everybody knows that you're two games away in a semifinal from winning a national championship. And let's be honest, there's nobody in the game that's more equipped or more proven to be able to push the right buttons on his team than Nick Saban. So, you know, like, I don't know what would have to happen for Cincinnati to actually beat Bama. I think Bama would have to play very poorly and have a bunch of turnovers that they usually don't have. And I just don't think that that's a characteristic that Nick Saban teams in the playoff have ever illustrated. And, you know, after the embarrassment of what we just did going into the SEC championship game, I don't even know if I could wrap my head around a scenario where Alabama, that Alabama team that we just saw, losing. And I think that's the Alabama team that's going to show up now because it's the biggest stage, the brightest lights, and the biggest stakes.
Well, two really good corners for Cincy. They're actually probably playing better corners in this game than they did against Georgia. Now, the rest of the defense is better for Georgia. But Georgia didn't do a very good job of getting any pressure on Bryce Young at all. You know, you go back to A&M, you go back to LSU, they were in his face a lot. Georgia couldn't get there. I have a question about Georgia, Ari. You know, I go back to 2017, and I was at the Georgia-Auburn game in the regular season when Auburn just annihilated Georgia. They made some tweaks and changes. Like, they changed their offensive line around after that game and then did a couple other things, and they came back just a complete juggernaut after that. Do you think that what Alabama did to Georgia will force Georgia into some changes that could make Georgia a tougher team to deal with in the playoff than it was already?
Well, let me ask you this, Andy. How much do you think quarterback play played into the fact that they lost?
Not as much as everybody on Twitter seems to think. People are laying this game at the feet of Stetson Bennett. I don't know that it's completely Stetson Bennett's fault. I think a lot of it is the defense that had given up nothing all season, letting Bryce Young shred them. I think that had something to do with
and they were gassed.
Able to get to Bryce Young. Yeah.
Which I thought was noticeable, like being gassed.
Right. Absolutely. Well, because nobody had been able to sustain drives against them. So there's that piece of it. But yes, the quarterback play was not perfect. Now, would it have been better with JT Daniels? I don't know. I'm guessing that Stetson Bennett has been the better quarterback, and that is why he's still playing. But we don't see the practices.
Kirby Smart lost a national championship because the other coach had the fortitude to make a change at the most important position at the most critical and insane time imaginable. If there is a chance, and we know Kirby Smart hasn't necessarily been one for making drastic changes to his quarterback position if somebody was better on the roster. But it would be interesting to me if Georgia showed up in the playoff with a new quarterback, a more well-conditioned defense, and showed up entirely different team in the national championship game. And we put our hands up and we vowed we would never pick against Alabama again.
Yeah.
But if Georgia and Alabama were to face off in the national championship game, which, let's be honest, is probably what's going to happen. I don't know that I would be, I'm never going to pick against Alabama, but I wouldn't be shocked if Georgia won that game.
Let me throw another thing at you, Ari, about the Cotton Bowl. Alabama will be facing a better quarterback in the Cotton Bowl than it faced in the SEC championship game. I don't think there's an argument about that. I think Des Ritter's probably better than both of Georgia's quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So they are going to see a more dynamic quarterback than they saw. Jerome Ford averaging 6 yards a carry, averaged like 10 yards a carry against Houston yesterday.
So it happens if you break off a 45-yard, or what was it, a 75-yard touchdown run?
75, yeah.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, this is something we talked about regarding Georgia. Georgia has yet to prove that it can win two types of games, that it could get dragged into a shootout and win that way, and that it can win kind of that low-scoring defensive struggle. Alabama and Cincinnati can do both. They have proven they can do both. Which one of those do you think this winds up being?
I don't know. I think that it's really hard for me to wrap my head around the idea that Alabama was able to do that to them. And like, what it makes you think, like, what do you think that they are defensively? Are you still best defense in the history of college football that had a bad game? Or are you on the side of exposed by
Georgia's defense. I'm asking what game, what style of game are we going to see between Alabama and Cincinnati, both of which can beat you in a shootout.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood
you.
Or
beat you in a low scoring game. Yeah.
I think that it's going to be a pretty high scoring game. But I think that it might just be high scoring on one side. I mean, I'm sorry. It's in my DNA. I can't help the stars thing. Like I
the
just
stars, the stars
like,
matter.
I think Alabama is going to win by a lot.
By the way, while we're on the subject of stars mattering, stars matter on this podcast too. Please rate and review.
Oh yeah.
Five star reviews are like five star prospects. We need to collect as many as we can if we want to win the podcast national championship. So please smash that five star review, and you know, leave comments, fair criticisms. We can handle it. We're big boys. But if you find it in your heart, stars matter to us too. So five star reviews, if you can throw them out there, it helps us. It makes the podcast get spread to more people, and then you will have more inside jokes that you can share with more people, like never bet on Pitt, ever, and under any circumstances. They'll know what you're talking about. Like, you'll say something like, oh, it's sort of like betting on Pitt, and they'll be like, yeah, dude, I know. It's like that. So,
wonderfully done segue, by the way.
I've been meaning to say that for like three episodes, so I keep getting hung up, but... But I mean, your stars matter thing, I understand, and the Alabama always showing up in the big games, I get. I just think there are still limitations that Alabama has shown us, and times when they have not been as good this season. If they are slightly off, Cincinnati can make this a competitive game. I'm not going to say this is going to be a blowout right off the bat. That said, I'm also not picking against Nick Saban because I did make a pledge about 13 hours ago.
I think the spread's going to be three scores. Have you seen the spread yet?
Yes, I've seen it.
What did it open at?
Like 14 and a half.
Yeah, three scores.
Yes, that's true.
So, yeah.
Two scores, 2-point conversions.
Yeah, if you count 2-point conversions, but, you know, I think that...
I do.
I think that 14 and a half is viewed as a three possession game, but like the idea, I guess, that you would have to get Cincinnati to be competitive in this game is score early and get confidence. You know what I mean? It can't just be one of these games where Alabama comes out and punches you in the mouth and then, you know, that's it. Because we all know that over the course of time in these games, and this is the thing that I always wonder about Andy, it's not just the talent on the top end. You know, we can take the best players on Alabama's team and say, this guy's going to be good, this guy's going to be good. It's in the third quarter when people are tired and Alabama's rolling in five-star.
When John Metchie tears his ACL and they keep destroying Georgia's defense like that? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just,
no, I agree.
They keep bringing them in and keep bringing them in. And Cincinnati's roster, though talented and exciting to watch, is not even remotely close. They are in the mid-50s in the talent composite rankings. You know, and it's just like you can ignore it, you can pretend like it doesn't matter, and you can watch Rudy. I mean, whatever you want to do. But these games have a wear out factor. And even if it's a close game in the beginning, Alabama will keep punching them and punching them and punching them with fresh, talented bodies in the third and fourth quarter when Cincinnati's exhausted. And I think they'll eventually wear them down.
We shall find out. When we come back, though, really interesting what if that our producer John Hayes threw out that I want to propose to Ari. We'll be right back. Welcome back. So John Hayes, our producer, brought this up to me before we started recording today, Arne. I wanted to run this by you. If this were UCF with that resume 3 years ago, would they get in? Is it that the climate is different now with Cincinnati getting in? Or is it just that Cincinnati had the massive win against Notre Dame that buoyed it?
I think it was the fact that there was complete chaos in the rest of the sport, too. Like, Cincinnati had the perfect year. They got Notre Dame on the road, and they won. Then Notre Dame didn't lose again, which buoyed, like you said, Cincinnati's resume. And then the rest of the sport fell apart, you know? And we were at the point where we were coming up with scenarios where if two or three games went differently on Saturday, they wouldn't even have a fourth candidate to put into the playoff. And I think that's the kind of thing that Cincinnati was certainly a beneficiary of, because I feel like even one other win, one other change, Big 12 champion was different, Cincinnati would have had to sweat. But like when you look at just even, this is the way I like to put it. If you look at the 247 composite rankings in the 2021, you know, and I don't mean to belabor the point here, but like, let's look at them. In the 2021 class, Alabama and Georgia are the, or the 2021 season, Alabama and Georgia are the two most talented teams. Then you have Ohio State, sucks. Then you have Clemson, sucks at four. LSU, five, sucks.
But you mean,
Oklahoma,
you mean by,
six,
by,
sucks.
By their standards.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't
Not
have
LSU,
the,
but everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, LSU just sucks. Florida sucks for their standard. A&M completely out or underperformed based on potential expectations this year. Nine, Oregon beat Ohio State, then looked like crap for the rest of the year. 10, USC completely gave up. 11, Texas, we know the score there. 12, Notre Dame, who Cincinnati beat. And then you got 13, Miami, 14, Auburn, 15, Michigan, 16, Penn State. I mean, who's good this year? Like, there weren't a lot of very great teams, and there weren't a lot of exceptionally good teams. So I think that trying to go back in time and say, well, if UCF would have had that team this year, then they would have made the playoff. Absolutely. If they would have played and beaten Cincinnati this year and had that same resume, they would have gotten in. And I don't know if that's a change of thought process or a completely different viewpoint. It's just the circumstance.
I'm talking about with that UCF resume, because their best win was against Maryland that year. Well, actually, their best one was probably against the USF in the Black Friday game. Because
if you subbed out Cincinnati's win over Notre Dame this year and put in Maryland, would they be in? I think it's the best way to ask that.
I think they would. I think as the only undefeated FBS team, they would be in. But I don't know, because we've seen the committee hold those undefeated teams down just because they would ask, who have you played? There was never a question of who Cincinnati played because of that Notre Dame win. Even though the other win, and Indiana coming into the season, we thought was going to be a really big game for them. It's just Indiana turned out not to be very good. So I do think that beating Notre Dame, and so if you're a group of five team, now look, all of this may change when they expand the playoff, and look, they're going to expand the playoff, especially after two SEC teams just got in again. But if you're a group of five team, you got to make sure you're trying to get a power on your schedule every single year, even if you got to go there for a bye game. It's the only way. That's the only way to earn that respect.
In the current system.
Now, yeah. In the 12-team system that's coming, you just have to win your league if you're in the American. And really probably the Mountain West. If you can go undefeated in the American and Mountain West.
You don't have to win your conference. You have to go undefeated.
Yeah, there are some. Well, no, if there's six highest-ranked conference champs or five AQs in the Power Five and then one
Well, just
more.
The highest-rated group of five team.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't even have to go undefeated anymore in that case. It's just it would probably help, because it's going to be rare that there are years where you have an undefeated Mountain West champ and an undefeated American champ. Or actually, the Sun Belt's about to get stronger with some of the teams they pilfered from Conference USA. So they might be able to put one in as well. And I mean, we've seen the MAC put teams in the New Year's Six and in those types of games. So it's not completely impossible, but you got to try to get that game until they change the system. And, you know, it's probably too late at this point, unless you already have it scheduled, because by the time you can get it scheduled, the system will have changed.
Yeah.
You also have to be lucky. Like, what if Notre Dame, because remember early this season, we looked at Notre Dame, we're like, I don't know if they get their quarterback situation figured out. The line doesn't look like it's as good as usual. Like, let's say they had lost four games in a row at some point. Like, then Cincy's out of luck, because they're like, well, you didn't beat anybody at all. So you also have to get lucky that team you scheduled is good that year.
I mean, you have to have everything. The way that this happened the first time, Cincinnati had the marquee win. They had the power five, and maybe this is the same thing, but they had the power, not a power five, but a power team on their resume.
Oh, yeah.
That was going to buoy them. That team that they beat also ended up only losing one game, and the rest of the sport fell apart. So, like, if you had an Ohio State or a Clemson or one of these powers just being who they usually are, and I guess maybe not Ohio State because Michigan took their spot, but Clemson being who they were this year and the ACC got a team in, then since, like, if they were Clemson being undefeated away from being out. It's that simple.
So under the
being a one-loss champion, then they would have been out.
Yeah. So under the 12-team playoff, the one that was proposed, who is the number 3 or 4 seed? Because since he moves up to 3, Georgia would have to be 5 because they weren't a conference champ, and that would push Notre Dame to 6 and Ohio State to 7. So who would have been the next highest ranked conference champ in that situation?
Would it be Baylor?
It would have been Baylor. Okay, so Baylor would have
been. And I think Baylor got completely disrespected on Sunday.
Yeah, well, the TCU loss, I think, is probably what killed them.
I mean, teams get forgiven for bad losses all the time.
If Baylor hadn't lost to TCU, though, the Baylor-Cincinnati would have been a real argument.
I think Baylor would have been in.
They would have had the wins against both Oklahoma schools, which would have been two really good wins against the one, you know, one really, really good win. And I think there would have been a lot more debate about it.
So I know that I had some podcast like content fuel last night, but mm-hmm. I did tweet out Sunday morning before the reveal the thought process of avenging a loss and how they should be evaluated. And I just want to know your opinion. Is it really that strange to say that if you beat a team in the last game of the season in a conference championship game that you lost to 2 months earlier, should we evaluate that loss differently?
I don't think it should nullify the loss completely, but you absolutely should evaluate it differently.
Because losing to the team that Baylor beat to win the Big 12 is the reason they're not in the playoff. And I find that to be completely stupid. It's like people always yell, games matter.
They also could have not lost to TCU that had just fired its coach. Like,
sure. No, I know. Sorry. I know. But you can make the same case for other teams. But you're right. I don't feel bad for Baylor. They blew it. I'm just saying it's just hard to wrap your mind around the idea that the team that – because if they would have just lost to TCU and you remove the Oklahoma State loss, they would still probably be in the playoff right
now. And I know
so, like, you don't just switch it.
I'm sure the Baylor people are going to say, you know, they changed quarterbacks that week. Chandler Morris came in. It was a different, you know, basically hadn't seen. It was basically a new offense that Baylor had to deal with that they had not had a chance to prepare for. I don't care. You got to beat that team. If you want to play, you know, be considered to play for the national title, you got to beat that team in this system. Now, in the 12-team system, which is going to happen, I know everybody keeps thinking, well, what if they do 8? What if they... the only way they're going to do 8 is if they do best 8, which is not going to happen. So the SEC is only going to take 8 if it's best 8, and the SEC is going to get what it wants because it's the only one that doesn't care if they just stay at 4. So they're not doing best 8 because the Pac-12, the Big 12, all the Group of 5 leagues, and really the ACC need automatic bids. So they're not going to do 8. So they're going to do 12. So Baylor would have been your number 4 seed in that case. Cincinnati probably is your number 3, or you could have that argument if you want, Ari. And then that pushes it down. Georgia would have been 5. Ohio State would have been 6 in that one. And then Notre Dame would have been 6. Ohio State would have been 7. Notre Dame at 5 in this system is interesting to me, too, in regard to that playoff expansion talk, because the ACC has been gumming up the works, trying to force Notre Dame to join the ACC in football, because that's the only way the ACC can open up its TV contract and get out of this horrific deal that they're locked into until we'll all be dead. And I think this year is an argument that Notre Dame never has to join a conference. Like, because I had always said the trade-off for Notre Dame being able to make the playoff is they have to go 12-0 in a 4-team playoff. And they're willing to make that trade-off. They're willing to accept that if they go 11-1, they're not going to make it. Ari, they could have made it. One or two different results, and they would have made this playoff at 11-1. So if I'm
But they Jack still Corbett, missed it. You also have to take into account, though, that this was the weirdest year of the playoff era.
Well,
and they still didn't make it.
But also take into account that the schedule they had, which was on paper prior to the season, looked great. None of those teams, except for Cincinnati, wound up being good.
Like, yeah, that's true.
In a normal year, those teams are going to be good. Now you say, okay, well, one of those teams would have beaten them then. Okay, that's also true. But let's say Marcus Freeman continues to recruit the way he has since he got there, and they just bring in loads of talent, and the schedule on paper looks good, and then the teams actually wind up being good, and Notre Dame goes 11-1. I think Notre Dame still has as good of a chance at 11-1 as maybe the ACC champ does if Clemson's not Clemson. And that's a problem for the ACC. Like, if I'm Jack Swarbrick, I go to Jim Phillips and be like, listen, dude, it's never going to happen, so you may as well stop dreaming and do what's best for the league relative to the playoff.
Yeah, and we're probably, 2 years away from it and really never being a discussion again. So, you know,
yeah.
Once they expand the playoff, the Notre Dame might be a two-loss team that gets in at some point.
Exactly. They never have to join a conference when the playoff expands. Yeah. And that's what that's the ACC's fear, is that they can never, you know, crowbar Notre Dame into the league that way. But the problem is, if Notre Dame's better off in the four team than the ACC is, then there is no debate at Notre Dame. Like, because they don't want to do it, and there's no incentive to do it at this point. So,
and also, they're so close to the end of it changing. What does it even matter? You know, so you're only 2 years removed from the whole system being different.
No, what I'm saying is, Ari, the ACC has been stalling on the expansion to try to make Notre Dame do this.
Gotcha.
The ACC has to agree to the expansion or it doesn't happen.
Yes. No, I agree.
So
yeah. I thought you meant like Notre Dame's standpoint, why would they ever join?
Well, what I'm saying is they never will. So yeah. It's time for the ACC to accept that and just
Some fun with the rest of us. Maybe just join the fun party.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. All these other games will be announced. And like Ohio State Utah in the Rose Bowl sounds like a fun game. But I'd much rather have Ohio State Utah at the freaking horseshoe and the winner gets to move on. That's a better game.
Yeah. I mean, every single game is better with stakes. It doesn't even matter who's participating in it or where it is.
Maybe this is our first podcast t-shirt. Are you ready? Every game is better with stakes, STAKES. And every game is better with stakes, STEAKS.
Yeah. I'd wear that.
That's
get a little Andy Staples show right behind the
on the back. Andy Staples show logo on the back. Yes.
Yeah, I'd wear that.
Every game is better with stakes. Every game is better with stakes.
What's taking so long for the merchandise?
I'm lazy. That's pretty much it. My own personal laziness, Ari.
I want to be wearing Andy Staples sweatpants in 6 weeks.
Andy Staples joggers. Andy Staples show joggers.
Yeah, Andy Staples show joggers. T-shirts.
Dude. Like cufflinks. The Juicy Couture ones that all the ladies wore back at the turn of the century.
Yeah, right on the butt.
Juicy across the butt. It's going to say Stars Matter across the butt.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Could you? Honestly, I don't want to live in a world where women were wearing those. You know?
Oh, no. The women are smart enough to not buy them.
It would be for me. Yeah.
It would be all dudes.
If anybody can make it a fashion statement, it'd be you. So let's get it. And it has to be Stars Matter and rhinestones.
Stars Matter bedazzled across my ass.
Yeah.
Wow. We're going to make millions. I cannot wait. I'm gonna get on the horn with my clothing manufacturer right now. We got to make this happen. Actually, Ari, that might be what we have to do. Because I lost the bet with Pitt and Wake. They did not hit the over. They turned it into a defensive struggle in the second half for some reason. So if I had a pair of joggers made with Stars Matter bedazzled across the butt, would a punishment be that I had to wear them
in a grocery store? Yeah.
Yes. I have to go grocery shopping in my Stars Matter joggers. I think we can make this happen. And then I will send them to you.
I should come to Gainesville and just like watch you shop and be like 10 feet behind you.
Well,
you'd
have to film it.
Yeah, I want to film it.
Content. Yeah. Okay. All right, let me see. I am sure there. I'm going to go on Etsy and find out how to get this made, and we're going to get some bedazzled sweatpants and make this happen.
Yeah, but I mean, that, to me, that'd be amazing.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, I think we figured out the punishment. I got to figure out how to get it made, but if it works, we will make an Andy Staples store shop and we will sell them to you, the public, that has been dying for Stars Matter joggers with Stars Matter in rhinestones across your butt. It's been great. What a season, Ari. Signing day isn't a week and a half. This stuff never stops.
We got so much to talk carousel. About.
We got it all. We got the other bowl games. Guys, thank you so much for listening all season. We have had so much fun. When you guys tweeted us, when you come on the live rooms and you tell us, you know, how much you're listening and you have the inside jokes down, it just makes my heart feel great. But none of this is going to stop. We're going full bore all through the off season. So thanks so much, but it ain't stopping. We ain't stopping. Stars Matter across your butt. Just imagine it. I don't know if I can have it ready for Christmas, but you know, if you got some friends that have early,
if you get them ready for Christmas, birthdays. You're going to shop them. You're going to go to the mall wearing them, and you have to do all your Christmas shopping wearing them.
Ari, my Christmas shopping's already done. I come prepared.
Well, maybe you can buy me something.
You're not Christian.
There's a tree in my house.
Oh, you got a Hanukkah bush? Okay.
It is kind of a Hanukkah bush, but it's like decorated. Like it's festive. We got a menorah and a... Yeah, yeah. And we got a little elves, you know? You know, Jews get into the Christmas spirit too, you know? We're also off of work. We're also out there having a good time. Like, come on. That doesn't mean you don't have to get me a... What, so every single person is ever going to get me a present?
We got to get matching Stars Matter joggers.
I'll wear them.
All right, the only present I'm getting you is Stars Matter joggers. That's it. There's no other option here.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'll wear them.
All right. We will talk to you again soon. Bye.